Okay, so grab your bulletin if you would and look on the back. Look on the back. You see at the top right under UBC's doctrine, you see that? It says that we are an independent Christian church in the Protestant tradition. In the 1500s in Europe, the Protestant reformers taught that we are justified by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That is one of the hallmarks of the Protestant Reformation. And justification means to be declared right with God, or to be declared righteous in God's sight. That's what justification means. We are justified by grace alone. That means that justification comes as a gift of God. That's what grace is. It is a gift of God. Justification comes through trusting God. That's faith. And then it's faith in Jesus Christ, the only Savior. So the hallmark of the Protestant Reformation is something that we believe here at UBC. We are justified by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. So when we are justified, you and I are made right with God. That means that we have a relationship with Him now and an eternity with Him in heaven. And if that status comes as a gift from God through faith, and we have it because we trusted God, not by doing the right things, I want to raise a very important question today, and it's something that the Protestant reformers had to deal with, and it's something that the Christian church has had to deal with. It's something that all Christians really have to deal with at some point, is understanding the role of good deeds in the Christian life. What are the role of good deeds? We might call them good works, or behaving the right way, or doing the right things. Why do we do those things? Why do we do good deeds if it is faith in Christ that saves us? Now, obviously, God cares about good deeds and doing the right thing. There's tons of stuff in the Bible about that. But at the same time, we're told that it's not good deeds that make us right with God, that it's a gift that comes from faith. So how does this all work together? Well, there can be a lot of confusion about this question. And how we think about these two things, our faith and our actions, how we put the puzzle pieces together. And if you want, Eric, put up the puzzle piece slide there. There we go. Whoops. There it is. Puzzle piece. How we put the puzzle pieces of faith and actions together in our Christian life can cause either great freedom, if we understand it properly, or tremendous conflict and confusion and struggle if we don't understand them properly. So today we're going to talk about putting those two things together, our faith and our actions. How do we put those two puzzle pieces together? And I want to give you three bad ideas and one right idea. So we'll start with the three bad ideas. This is bad idea number one. It's called the reward system. The reward system. Some people think that justification comes from a reward system, that God rewards us based on our attitude or based on our behavior and our actions. And faith is just part of this system of doing the right things that God is pleased with. It's kind of like checking boxes. Someone might say, well, I've believed in Jesus as the real person and as Son of God. That's the right thing to believe. So I get to check that box. And I've done a lot of other good things like helping others, giving to charity, serving at church, things I read about in the Bible. Check, 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 check. I've checked all those boxes too. So God will see that I've checked all the boxes and He will reward me. That is why I have a relationship with God and how I get into heaven when I die. So this idea actually relies on good deeds, and it sees faith as just one of those good deeds. You know, I believe in Jesus, so God will reward me. I do good things, so God will reward me. I believe the right things and I do the right things. So God is just going to reward me. We could represent this mathematically with the slide up there by saying that good works results in salvation or justification. If I do good things and faith is included in those good things, so you could picture little F included in the GW there, faith is included, then I have a relationship with God and I get to go to heaven. This is one way of thinking. It's kind of like getting a job, right? You guys have all gotten jobs at some point. I've got a great resume, right? Pull out the resume, check. I've got the qualifications, check. I've worked hard, check. I'm better than other candidates, check. So I get the job because of all the good hard work I've done. We can think about that. We can have this unconscious idea that, oh, if God just would compare me to other people like Hitler, then I look really good and he'll just reward me. This is not right. This is a wrong idea, the bad idea. God does not compare us to others. When God looks at me, he doesn't care what Hitler is doing. He's going to look at me. And unfortunately, as I said during the communion time, we are not good people in our hearts. We don't deserve a good reward. And the Bible even says that salvation is from God. It is an act of grace and mercy. It is not by earning it. God can never be in our debt. Jesus told a story. It's called the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector. How many of you have read this story? The Pharisee and the tax collector. Good, a number of you. There are two guys, and they went up to the temple and they prayed. One was a Pharisee, so a very religious, law-abiding guy. The second was a tax collector, basically a traitor to his people, despised, greedy, a cheat. And the Pharisee prayed, and he said, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. I fast from food twice a week. I give a tithe or a tenth of all that I have. So he prayed that way. The tax collector was really under a sense of guilt and a sense of conviction of his life and how bad of a life he had lived. And we can see that because of the fact that he beat his breast. That was an expression of anguish. And so the tax collector prayed out of anguish and he said, God, have mercy on me. I am a sinner. And Jesus said, it was the one who humbled himself and asked for mercy that was the one who was justified. It was the tax collector and not the Pharisee. The Pharisee thought he earned it by his good deeds. The tax collector knew he was out of luck and he asked for mercy. And Jesus said, that's the way to go. So you ask for God's mercy. Titus chapter 3, 4 to 7 says, when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. See, Titus is telling us, that, or Paul is telling us in the letter of Titus, I mean, that it was the kindness and the love of God that was the motive behind God's saving us. It was not that God saw our lives and said, I am going to reward those people with heaven. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. Let's turn there together. It's page 827 if you want to use the red Bible here. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. It's by God's mercy and grace that we have been saved, and it comes through faith when someone believes in Christ. It is not from us, it is from God. And it says flat out, salvation does not come from works, so nobody can boast about how good they were to earn it. If God rewarded us by checking, when we checked off all the boxes, God rewards us, then somebody could boast. They could say, yes, you know, that is what I did in order to earn this thing. But it says no one can boast. No one can earn their salvation. It has to be by the gift of God. So faith is a good thing to have, but faith is not a good work that earns God's favor, just in this system of good works that get God to reward us. Do you guys understand that? Please nod your heads if you understand that, because that is so important. This is the natural way of thinking. We do enough good things and God rewards us. It's not how it works. That's bad idea number one. What is bad idea number two? This is the reward system with some help. The reward system with some help. And let me explain this. So this idea says, I know that faith in Jesus is what saves me. So I am trusting in him. But I need to do a lot of good things in order to make sure that Jesus doesn't drop me. Or I don't lose my salvation. So this person understands that they don't get salvation. They don't receive it by works, by doing good things. They receive it by God's grace. But then this person goes and does all of these good works in order to keep God's grace and make sure that God doesn't just, you know, drop us. This is kind of like a job that I got because my friend knew the boss. So I didn't deserve the job. It's not like I'm saying my resume was good. My resume was actually horrible. And I'm not better than other candidates. I'm actually just as bad as everyone else. It was because my friend came along and recommended me to my boss. And my boss loves the friend so much that the boss said, okay, I'll give him the job. But I have to work hard every day in order to keep the job so I don't get fired. That's what this idea says. Jesus gave me some help with what I couldn't do by myself. He got me the job, so to speak, but I need to work hard to keep the job. So we do good works in order to keep our salvation. That's what this idea says. Mathematically, whoops, this is number two. Okay, mathematically, we would express the idea like this. God takes what Jesus did, but he also adds to that the good deeds I do in this life, and that gets me into heaven. So if you look at the equation, it says faith, F, plus good works results in salvation. A lot of people think this way. A lot of Christians think this way. And this is wrong. Stop and think about this for a minute. If Jesus promises to save all who believe in him, who really trust in him, but we have to keep that salvation by our good behavior, wouldn't the Bible tell us that very, very specifically? Wouldn't it tell us the exact rules that we have to keep after we get saved in order to keep our salvation? Wouldn't it be crystal clear about the exact right things that we have to make sure that we do after we accept Jesus? Otherwise, wow, we could just be lost. You know, we could just do something that you know, we didn't know about. But it never says that we stay saved by our good works or by our obedience. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1. It's page 857. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth, being born again, into a living hope. That's the expectation of full salvation in heaven. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. Wow, so we have an inheritance. Who, through faith, are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. So we are born again. We're given new spiritual life inside. We're given salvation by God's great mercy. And we have an inheritance in heaven because of the death and resurrection of Jesus. And God keeps our inheritance for us in heaven. But in this life, we are shielded by our good works. Is that what it says? No, it says in this life we are shielded through faith by God's power until our salvation is fully revealed at Christ's return. How are we shielded or kept in God's kingdom? Not by doing good works, but by our faith. By trusting in Him, continuing to trust God and His promises as we did at first. Look at Colossians chapter 1, it's page 833. Colossians 1, 21. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. So that's non-Christians, right? We're all non-Christians at one point. But now, He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Christ died to present us holy in God's sight, perfect, pure, righteous. And this would be a great place for Paul to say, just make sure you keep doing the right things. But he says, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. See, Paul is concerned about the Christians not dropping their faith. He's saying, don't lose heart. Don't give up your trust in Jesus. Continue to persevere and know that when you hold on to your faith, God has presented you perfect and righteous in His sight. All that God wants us to do is trust in Him for salvation, and He gives us salvation. It's not about works. So you and I can be grateful that Jesus gave us a relationship with God and a future in heaven, but we don't have to earn that future, even partially, by doing enough good deeds. It is not like some job that our friend got for us and that we have to keep by being a good employee. So when the Lord promises to save all that trust in Him, we need to believe that. We need to believe Him and not look at our good works as some kind of insurance. Like, oh, you know, I'll trust Jesus for my salvation, but I'll make sure I do a lot of good things just in case. Just in case God really is grading me on how well I work for Him. So this idea of faith put, whoa, where'd it go? Faith plus good works results in salvation. Really turns into the reward system anyway. Because how can we be sure that we've done enough good works to keep the job? How can we know that we really are saved? Is there a checklist somewhere that I can make sure I'm doing the right things in order to add to Jesus' work so I can be saved? That really does turn into another reward system. And that's not from the Bible. That's not from God. When it comes to our salvation, our role is to trust that Jesus paid it all, and that we need to rely on that. Now let's look at another bad idea. This is bad idea number three. I call this one the rich uncle. Anybody have a rich uncle? You don't have to raise your hand. I'm just kidding, okay? The rich uncle. We've been talking about two perspectives, two bad ideas that are from the super conscientious and hardworking type of Christian or person, okay? This third bad idea is from the opposite end of the spectrum. Using the job metaphor, this is a guy who says, I just want to have a good time right now, and someone else is going to pay for it. I've heard that I have a rich uncle somewhere. I've never talked to him. I've never met him. I don't really care who he is. I don't really think about him. But I've heard he will pay off all my debts, so I will just keep buying whatever I want and just put it right there on the credit card. In other words, I heard Jesus died for my sins, so that means it'll all be okay. But I really don't want a relationship with Jesus. I don't want to go to church. I'm not concerned about knowing more about God. I don't think about what God might want or who He really is. I prayed some prayer a long time ago, and I'm trusting that prayer has got me covered. I'm good. Well, the first thing to notice is this guy's totally selfish. And who does he think he's fooling? Certainly not fooling God. God is not some rich uncle who waves his hand and says, oh, well, boys will be boys or girls will be girls. It doesn't matter what those people down there do. I just got them covered. And mathematically, we can represent this idea by a lowercase f leading to salvation. This idea that, oh, yeah, it's faith that leads to salvation. I trust somewhere in some plan, something. The lowercase f looks like it represents faith, but it doesn't. It's not genuine faith. This person doesn't trust in God. Remember, he doesn't care about God. He trusts in an idea. The lowercase f is really a false faith, and this false faith, this imitation, does not lead to salvation. See, this person on some level believes that Jesus paid for his sins out there somewhere, but he has never really come to Jesus for salvation. He doesn't really trust Jesus Christ, the living person, who is real, just as real as you and I, but he trusts the idea that despite his selfish, godless life, that there will be no consequences. He's putting his faith in something, but he's putting his faith in something completely wrong. And that's scary, and that's dangerous. C.S. Lewis wrote about how some people have this misunderstanding, and they think, quote, faith is all that matters. Consequently, if you have faith, it doesn't matter what you do. Sin away, my lad, and have a good time, and Christ will see that it makes no difference in the end. The answer to that nonsense, Lewis wrote, is that if what you call your faith in Christ does not involve taking the slightest notice of what he says, then it is not faith at all. Not faith or trust in him, but only intellectual acceptance of some theory about him. See, real faith in the Bible is a personal turning to God and relying on him, not just having some idea about him. The Bible talks about things like coming to God or calling on God or approaching God. And these involve and describe us as a person coming to God as a real person, not just believing some idea. Real faith propels us to personally go to God and interact with him. Do you see the difference? I had a conversation with someone when Rebecca and I lived in San Diego, a number of years ago. And I asked him if he was a Christian. And he said he was, and that he went to church, and he named the church. And then he started talking about all the partying that he did all the time with alcohol and with women and, you know, all of this stuff. And I'm like, okay, what? And how he loved all this. This was his life. And I said, well, what about the whole church thing? And he said, hey, well, what else is confession for? And I can remember, even today, the flippant and arrogant way that he just said that. And he thought God didn't care. And that confession was just some get-out-of-jail-free card that you could just kind of toss in God's direction. And he'd say, okay, fine. It was a formula that had nothing to do with the living God. And I told him, I said, you cannot play games with God. And I wish I had really reamed him out. I wish that I'd taken like 5 or 10 minutes to just let this guy have it. Not because I needed, you know, to get my anger out. It was because he needed to be woken up. He needed to see that you cannot play with God and expect to win in that way. Galatians 6, 7, and 8 says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. When the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sins and our need for Christ, our role is to respond to that and go to Christ and say, Lord Jesus, save me. I need you. I need you to save me. Please save me. our role is not to dismiss the conviction and say, ah, whatever, I'm sure it'll be fine in the end. That's pleasing the Spirit when we go to Christ for salvation. It's pleasing the Spirit when we follow his lead in our daily life. This guy that I talked to was just pleasing the flesh, and he expected there would be no consequences. Well, God knows much better than that. He is not fooled. So bad idea number three is that what we do doesn't matter at all. That God doesn't care about our actions, and he's like the rich uncle who will just wipe everything away when there's no relationship there. There's no heartfelt turning to God. There's no personal interaction. This bad idea is what James chapter 2 is talking about. If you know James 2, the person who says he has faith, but there's no evidence in his actual life. There's been no change at all since he supposedly believed in Christ, but this person still says that he has faith. James says this is not genuine faith. It is little f faith. You see, genuine faith is revealed in our real lives. Our actions don't contribute to our salvation, but they reveal what we actually believe. Our actions reveal what we really believe. What did this guy that I talked to believe? He believed there'd be no consequences for what he did. And his life showed it. Well, let's look at the right idea. The right idea is that good deeds don't contribute to salvation, but come after salvation. Salvation does not come from our good works, but once we are saved and we have a relationship with God, that relationship will want us, or will make us want to live differently. The Bible talks about adoption. When we put our faith in Christ, we are adopted into God's family. And so we can say, I've been adopted into the family of God, and my dad loves me. And so because he loves me and because he's given so much for me, I'm going to start following him and do what he asked me to do, which is mainly to love him and to love others. All of that work of bringing me into the family and giving me a relationship with God and forgiving my sins and preparing a future for me in heaven, all of that work has already been done by Jesus Christ. That was his work. That is not my work. But as my dad, God has given me things to do just because they are good, because they glorify him, and because they help other people. We looked at Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, which says we are not justified by works, but by grace through faith. Ephesians 2, 10, the very next verse says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So first it says we are God's workmanship. This word means creation or something that is made. God has made us into something new. We are his handiwork. When we believed in Jesus, we received that identity as a new creation. But because we have that new identity, we are now suited to do the good works that God has prepared for us to do as his children. These are the works that are prompted by the Holy Spirit whom God has put in us. So yes, we do learn to please God in our behavior. We learn to adapt our lives to what he says, but not because we have to earn our status in his family. Not because we have to keep our status in his family. We're already in the family. But because our behavior starts changing to reflect our new identity and our new family. If you look at this slide, faith results in salvation and good works. We do good things because God has already justified us. We do good things because he works in our heart to want to. We do good things because that is part of the new family we're already in, not because God will fire us or send us back to the orphanage. You see, faith really does bring salvation. God's grace is such that anyone who wants to know him, anyone who really will turn to him and ask for that salvation, he will give it to them. Anyone who will trust in Jesus and what he's done for us receives that gift. And as a result of that gift, we get salvation, and we also get a desire to do good things, a real change in our hearts. So what is the role of our good works? Good works reveal what we really believe. Genuine faith will result in actions because that's what we really believe now. Good works spring out of our new identity as God's beloved children. They don't get us into the family. They don't keep us in the family, but they're part of living together as a family. Good works come out of love for God and for others. If we really understood and realized what Christ has done for us, we would love him. And we would love other people because he loves other people. And good works help us get to know him better. As we walk in these things, as we obey Jesus more and more, it's how we get closer to him. It's how we start to see life through his eyes instead of our old eyes. It's how we experience the new life that he's already given to us. So we should see these good works or doing good things as a natural progression, a natural outworking of what God has already done in us. Now, how do we apply this? I want you to do a couple of things this week to apply this. I want you to sit down at some point and ask yourself some questions. Even sit down with another person if you want and ask these questions, discuss. The first question, am I trying to obey God? Am I trying to obey God at all in my life? I don't want any of us to end up in the situation of the guy I talked to in San Diego, where we just believe in some theory, because that's not enough. That doesn't bring salvation. I want each and every one of us to have real, genuine faith in a real, genuine Savior. And the way that we test that, the way that we see that is, do I really believe he's there? Do I really believe he wants me to obey him? Am I trying to obey him? Ask yourself that question. Am I trying to obey God at all? Ask this question. If I'm 100% honest, do I really care about getting to know Jesus better, or am I just trying to not get into trouble with him? Do I really care about knowing Jesus better, or am I just trying to avoid trouble? And then ask this question. Do I think that if I'm going to be saved, I have to do enough good things to please God? Do I think that if I'm going to be saved, I have to do enough good things to please God? Think about that. Am I trying to obey God? That's number one. Do I really care about getting to know Jesus better? That's number two. And do I think if I'm going to be saved, I have to do enough good works to please God or impress him? Three questions. Now, if you didn't get those down, you can go back and listen to the message on the website this week and write the questions down. But I really want us to think about these this week, because the relationship between faith and works can be a blessing if we understand it right, or it could be a huge problem in our lives if we don't understand it. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we pray that you would help us to understand this message. Help us to understand the relationship between faith and works. We're so grateful, Lord, that you died on the cross for our sins. You rose from the dead, and you are alive today. And you did all of that for us to purchase us salvation. That is your work, and we don't touch it. All we do is receive that into our lives. But once we believe that, Lord, we know that your Spirit in our hearts will naturally produce a change, new desires, new ways of following you. And we want that. So, Lord, as we think about these questions this week, help us to see the truth about our lives and to really either adjust our thinking or get help with this, or to continue to rejoice in what you have done. We love you, Lord. We give you all the praise and the glory. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Pastor Rob, for